You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday. We're back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And wasn't going to do a podcast today, actually. I was going to take the day off, needed some R&R, but you know what? It's late, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I don't want to double up on Friday, so let's just do it late. So most of you will be listening or watching. Anyone watching this will definitely be Friday. Listening probably Friday as well. But anyway, it's the Michigan mailbag. Tons of questions. I got to get through them all in a half hour. That's the edict. So we're going to do it as best we can. So many questions this week. But let's start with our leaders and best. Let's start with James Crudup at James Crudup 6. What are your hot takes after week one? I think in a way it's a hot take that I think it's now J.J. McCarthy's job to lose. I think the defense is better than it was last year, but we'll find out, right? Like, it's too early. We saw how the defense didn't look awesome against Minnesota in 2020, but like, it was like, okay, I mean, that's a good offense, and they did pretty good, and then we saw how things turned out after that. So, I mean, all it takes is a team to expose them, but I think the defense is going to be better. I think that's all I really have. I don't really feel like there was any overarching anything. I think that this could, depending on what happens this week, this could be a team that sets that ends up at least being the best Jim Harbaugh team in terms of getting sacks. I don't remember the numbers exactly, but I could see this being a team that consistently is to the quarterback, partly because of the non-conference schedule. But if they go out there and do really well this week, then it's going to be hard to not do that, you know? Have to fall off a cliff for a while. Josh Barr at Jadicky. Any concern with the depth at offensive line? Was touted all offseason as a real strength, but there appears to be some issues at tackle-wise, I can't talk. Specifically, both starting and depth-wise, not a real concern until at least Iowa, but is that going to hurt the team eventually or just early hiccups? I think it's just early. Like, Ryan Hayes, sounds like he probably could have played if it was like a bigger game. I don't know exactly how they would have handled the rotation with Carson Barnhart going out if it was against like an Iowa or something like that. I feel like you can kind of play with house money. I do have concerns about Trente Jones, but they're just very mild concerns at this point. It was his first start as a starting lineman. Because we know what Carson Barnhart can do, and Trente Jones beat him out. Carson Barnhart has looked pretty good as a tackle since 2020, and Trente Jones beat him out, but he had an up and down game. So I'm not concerned. It's just one of those things. We'll see how it goes. They've got a lot of depth, actually. It's just, you know, some of it's unproven. This is the time to get some of that stuff out, right? You don't need to look perfect against Colorado State. I know people want to see that. Michigan doesn't necessarily treat that as the same way as some other teams are like, let's go out there and be perfect against weaker opponents. Michigan will work on some stuff. That's just kind of how it's always gone, right? Even not teams that aren't necessarily weaker. Like, think about Washington last year. Everyone was up in arms about that game and said, there's no way they can beat Ohio State this year. And then they did. Michael Wolf, my brother in metal at MWolf21. Even though it's only been one game, do you have any concern about Michigan going 3 out on his first drive and some early red zone issues? No, because they had some of those similar issues. I mean, Wilton Spate threw an interception on the first play, 2016. And then that offense ended up rolling until he got injured, really. You don't want to see it, but I mean, obviously that's with Cade leading the charge. I would have liked to see it be a more aggressive rather than just kind of read and react, but we'll see what happens. It's got to become a trend, right? One game to me doesn't usually concern me a ton. It's if it becomes like an issue of they don't start well, like we saw it pretty much any year other than 2016 and last year. He also asked, when you call Jake Booty at JBooty88 or JBooty, Jake Butt, JBooty88, is that technically a booty call? I guess it is. That's good. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. Who are you most surprised by, good and bad, from game one? I think that I was most surprised by, I wasn't really surprised by the defense, but I, because, you know, it would be weird if I was, given how much I've said that it was going to look like that. But at the same time, it was surprising to see it, you know, do exactly what I said. And so that's the good. I was surprised that Cade didn't look, that was Cade's worst game, I think, as a Michigan Wolverine. I think that was Cade's worst game. He looked awful in that game. I think he looked better against Georgia than he did against Colorado State. So there's that. And then the other part would be just Trente Jones kind of just looking lost a couple times out there. Not all the time, but just a few times out there, he looked very lost. But I guess, you know, it's his first full game, really, in like 4 years since he was in high school. So I guess that makes sense. Let's see. Second question, what will you be watching for most in game two? Crispness offensively and continuity on defense. Number three, after seeing game one, what position is most needed in this class? I don't know if I have an answer for that yet. Not to cop out, I just don't think that I have one. I mean, they need linebackers just because there's not a lot of depth, but I mean, they like the freshmen they have there, but they still need them. KRT at Farmark 8480, the Farmark 84. Good job, me. What are your top four teams in college football right now? Where would you rank Michigan? I think the current top four is probably pretty accurate. Alabama, Georgia. I think it's fair to have Ohio State at three, but I have a lot of questions about them, and Michigan at four. I think that's fair. I don't think that, but I think that Alabama and Georgia are right now heads and shoulders above everyone else. Not to buy into the SEC bias and all, I just do. I don't know that there's any other teams out there that I'm like, yes, 100%. I know they're good. I know that they can go out there and contend. I just don't think that there is that right now. Kind of like last year. There's just not a, like, it's not a lot of elite teams out there. I'm curious to see where Florida State, like, if they actually do improve or if Miami continues. And Miami's going to look great for until next week when it plays Texas A&M, and then we'll see how that looks. Finishing us out in segment one, Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph2156. I'll ask a non-QB question since the rest will be QB questions. Who do you think will be the leading yard getter on Saturday with the wide receivers, running backs, and tight end? If you were asking for one each, I will go with wide receiver Andrell Anthony because of his rapport with J.J. McCarthy. I think we're going to also see a bigger game from Donovan Edwards. I think that was a, you know, real increased load as far as carrying the ball. I think he'll figure a lot of things out. And I think Eric All, who was kind of quiet, you know, because he, you know, was up all night because he was having a kid, I think he'll look a lot better in week two than he did in week one. That is my guess. So we will see. Anyhow, from cringing at the pump to getting an eye-opening check at your favorite restaurant, inflation is hitting us all where it hurts, and it really hurts. That's why I started using Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With every purchase, I'm earning cash back thanks to Upside. To get started, you can download the free Upside app, use my promo code LOCKEDON, and get $5 or more cash back with your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside, check in at the business, pay as usual with a credit or debit card, and get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. So download the free Get Upside app, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $5 or more cash back from your first purchase of $10 or more. Actually, it's just LOCKED. Sorry, promo code LOCKED. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using the promo code LOCKED. All right, I think that is the fastest we have ever gotten through the leaders and best. On to the victors, Valiant. The bulk of the questions, though, are going to be with the new people. Mostly new people, so there's maybe a couple of returns there. Let's start with Jim at Jim in the North. What's up with the O-line? I expected more domination. I know Hayes was out, but they're supposed to be deep. I mean, it's first game. Like, again, the Trente Jones part. But, moving Keegan out to the edge. Giovanni Elhadi getting his first extended playing time. I mean, Keegan was okay for the most part. He was obviously better at guard. I thought that Olu was dominant. I thought that Zinter was dominant. I thought Barnhart played well when he was in there, from what I could remember. The problem is with the O-line is it's going to look only as good as its weakest link. And I felt like there was some struggles from Trente Jones. New Michigan fans undervalue solid quarterbacking. One of my frustrations with Caden JJ is how Michigan fans seem hooked on a running quarterback. MGo Blog preaches this. They like flashy, but guys like Caden Navarre win, and leadership counts too, but it isn't as visible. 100%. I think that's part of it. Obviously, Cade didn't really do that this last week, but, you know, Michigan fans have been waiting for that quarterback that comes in and sets the world on fire. They want what Joe Burrow had in 2019. They want Mac Jones in 2020, right? That's Michigan fans have been waiting for exactly that. And generally hasn't had it. Even Chad Henne, who was supposed to be that, wasn't that. He had a really good freshman year and then just kind of stayed the same. Didn't get to see Ryan Mallett be that. It's just a lot of teasing of like, hey, here's a five-star guy, and it just ends up being all right. Shea Patterson was good, above average. Michigan fans want more than above average. They want elite, especially because at Ohio State, they have elite, at least at the college level. Cade had some tart remarks about having a callous about situations like he is in. Is this a delayed QB battle, a threat to team chemistry? Would Cade, a captain, getting demoted hurt team chemistry? I don't think so, but it's always a chance, right? It's never say never. I think that you know what? If they're winning, it doesn't matter. You know, it's if Cade gets demoted and they go 9-4, then yeah, you're going to look and say, well, the team chemistry, whatever. What matters is winning. That's what makes teams really come together the most. If we already had a 12-game playoff, do you think Michigan fans would be happier? No, because here's the thing. As John U. Bacon says, Michigan fans are only happy when they're unhappy. So I think it would be seen as if Michigan's a top team, it was a 12-team playoff. It'd be like, oh, great, now there's extra steps, right? At least one extra game. Jacob Heminger, at Heminger Jacob. Does Michigan get to 10 plus sacks against Hawaii? Hawaii has attempted 99 passes this season already, about 50 per game, and more than when you factor in the plays that ended in sacks and not pass attempts. Colorado State had less than 30 dropbacks with 7 plus ending in sacks. My feeling is 10 plus is on the table. I predicted, I don't think Trent has run our preview column yet, but I predicted Michigan would get 10 sacks. So, yeah, I think Michigan will get there. They're going to try to get rid of the ball so fast, but I just, again, Colorado State tried to, and it just didn't work. That's the bonus of having a good secondary on top of a good pass rush. Mark Z at Mark Zimke. On offense specifically, what are your thoughts on dramatically limiting the playbook for easier games? I'm on the fence between not putting stuff on film and practicing more complex plays. I think that that's the way to go, to be honest, because, I mean, you want to do some things and maybe set some things up for later, but I think that, yeah, you don't want to give away the farm, you know? You don't want teams to be like, oh, okay. Not, you know, down the schedule. I think you keep it as vanilla, your base plays as much as you can in the not great parts of the schedule when you don't need them. And, you know, that's why you have practice. And Michigan has a good scout team in the season. I'm sure they still do some good on good here and there in the season. But, you know, that's a way that you can run it, you know, is, you know, those Michigan versus Michigan drills rather than just the scout team. I think that that's the way to, I think that the way that they do it is the way to go, right? And unfortunately, that does get it so where a lot of people are like, what is this early in the season compared to the end of the season when they start busting some things out? Jacob Chaveri at Jacob 1721-3950. I often found myself literally falling asleep while watching Michigan on offense when JJ took the field, ran for the touchdown, I got chills and remembered the days Denard was on the field. Did you feel the same way? Will Harbaugh change his play calling if JJ gets the job? Number two question, yes, I think he would. We saw the difference once upon a time with Alex Smith versus Colin Kaepernick. As far as falling asleep versus chills, I mean, I don't emotionally react that way anymore. So, not really. It's just kind of like you just try to pay attention and, you know, bank things away to think about, like, all right, what am I going to write? You know, what am I going to ask? That type of thing. Does Cade only have himself to blame for the performance he gave? Does the play calling have anything to do with it? I don't think the play calling has anything to do with it. I think Cade only has himself to blame. I think he had opportunities he just didn't take. I think that he played to not lose and ended up losing. I think that's how that went. Because he's played so much better. Like I said, worst game, I think, that he had as a Wolverine so far. I mean, because Washington would probably be the only other one, but he wasn't asked to do that. Like, the plan against Washington was to run. So, Adam Kasel at Adam underscore Kasel. Is this game a night game because the Hawaii television market is so crucial? Do they not want to watch football at 7 a.m. or 10:30 a.m.? What percent chance do you give Michigan to cover the spread? Obviously, it's on Big Ten Network. I don't believe they even get Big Ten Network in Hawaii. So, yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think that's just the Big Ten Network deciding, hey, yeah, this one should be a night game. Percent chance Michigan has to cover the spread? I'd say it's about 50-50. I said this, I was on ESPN Honolulu earlier this evening, and they were saying that they were talking about the spread. And here's what I said is, like, you never know what you're going to get with Jim Harbaugh. I think the last couple of years, like particularly like last year, it was surprising to see like them really run it up on Maryland, for instance. Because once upon a time, once like, okay, that game is clearly done. Michigan's reached 40 points. The other team isn't scoring more than whatever. And Jim Harbaugh would be like, all right, we're good. And then unless he was mad, right? Like, he was mad at Rutgers, so he put up 78 on him. I think that that's still a possibility, but there's a possibility he's like, all right, let's not embarrass these guys. You know, we'll see. Spencer Whitmore at Spencer Whitmore. The Hawaii game feels like Rutgers 2016, which again there, he says 82 to nothing. It was 78 to nothing. Would you take the 51 point spread? I did in my score prediction. I think I said 77-6 or something like that. Also, I'm thinking of taking the Michigan 51. I mean, I say do it. Why not? U of M times Clips times Bolt at U of M Clips Bolts. Is JJ's mobility enough to win him the job if they break even on starting game performances? P.S. Nobody goes to McDonald's and orders a McDouble. Give me McCarthy with the series sweep. I do think that. I mean, it's an extra element that other teams have to worry about. You saw how it opens up the offense. It opens up the run game, makes Michigan more dynamic. To me, if everything's equal in throwing the ball, which it might not be, then yeah, I think that that's enough. Finishing us out in segment two, how are we doing on time? Wow, we're rocking and rolling here. Zan at Zanland. How many pass attempts does JJ have to have against Hawaii for Harbaugh to prove to Jaden Davis that he is committed to the passing game going forward? Number one, I think Jaden Davis doesn't want necessarily to see that you're like throwing 40 times a game. You know, he likes the pro style. He likes the team that runs the ball. So I don't think you need to do any more than 30, which is, I think, about what we saw last week, right? That there was 18 throws from Cade, 4 from JJ, 6 from Alan Bowman, and I think 1 or 2 from Orgy. No, nothing from Orgy, but I mean, it's about that. So, yeah. All right, so let's continue on. We've got 10 minutes left or so and way more questions than that. Oh, man, so many. We're going to rapid fire these here momentarily. All right, so many people that have not asked questions before. And well, when you're regular, we put you up in the first two segments. And if you're not, we drop you into the third because we want to have time to answer everything. Those who ask questions on a weekly basis, hence the leaders and best in victories valiant. Xavier at Xavier 3160-8575. Well, we have a 3-man rotation at running back this season. I think it will probably be a little bit more than that. They'd like to have three, but I think that it will probably be CJ Stokes and Tavier Dunlap will be involved, and you'll see a little bit of Isaiah Gash. Is there a divide in the locker room because of the quarterback again? We saw this with Shea and Dale McCaffrey, and I didn't really think it hurt us. I don't think there was necessarily a quarterback divide in the locker room, to be honest. I just think that it looked that way because, especially when Shea got injured in 2019, I don't think there was an actual divide. And no, I don't think there will be a divide here either. It looks like we're early conversation to be in the playoffs. Do you think this team can eventually compete eventually with Georgia and Bama? Can we get that good? If Clemson can, I think Michigan can. I think Michigan's got talent. It's a matter of development. And I think part of it is Michigan's done a really good job of developing the lower end 4 stars and the 3 stars, and they have not done as good of a job at developing the high end 4 stars and the 5 stars. If Michigan can get its best out of those guys and like actually make those 5 stars look like legit 5 stars that they get, which they have tended not to, even the ones that go in the first round, Rashawn Gary, Daxton Hill was excellent, but they like get a guy that is a little bit more flashy in a way, right? Like I know what that sounds awful. Daxton Hill was underrated for what he did at Michigan. Rashawn Gary underwhelmed a little bit, but also was underrated at Michigan for what he did. And it's one of those things where I think that if they can get those 5 stars to look like obvious 5 stars, like, man, that guy is just doing so much. Daxton really kind of flirted with that a bit. Was certainly a mistake eraser and was everywhere, he was everywhere you wanted to be. It's that there's that. And then you need an elite quarterback. I know Georgia doesn't have an elite quarterback necessarily in Stetson Bennett, but he made elite throws against Michigan. And he was surrounded by elite players. Get all of that to work together. And yes, I think that they can. When can we expect Jaden Davis to commit? Could it be this weekend? I mean, I don't know, man. Your guess is as good as mine or anyone else's. There's no one that has a real good beat on that. Even AJ Holland, who's been really good at covering him. Did you not love the orgy in the end zone line from RG3? What I loved about it when I did my rewatch was that he said, "I'm not going to say anything." And then he said it. I made so many freaking jokes on the field. After that, I was like, man, Michigan really had an orgy in the end zone. It was really slippery getting in there. A lot of people watching. I think Michigan liked it. Colorado State, I don't think they liked the orgy in the end zone. I made way more than that. I went on for a while because I am a child. Joe Slatter at Coach Slatter. What, if anything, do you need to see over the next 2 games to secure your confidence in the defense? Consistency. That's it. Look the same essentially as you did in week 1. Be consistent. Don't give up a big play. Maybe keep them just to some field goals, right? Instead of some touchdowns. The other part would probably be to hold them less. The last part was hold them to less yardage than any other team before. I think that should be easy to do compared to Vanderbilt and to Western Kentucky. Perry Mitchell at Perry Mitchell 08. You mentioned before that next year is the year we should expect to see the team take a step back with so many of the younger players rotating in or even starting like Graham Coulson, etc. Would it be that wrong to expect the team to stay near the top? No, I guess not, right? Because, I mean, number one, you could have guys decide to come back that you would think to be pros. You know, Blake Corum decides to come back or, you know, whatever. Maybe that doesn't even matter. You know, you got guys like Donovan Edwards who can't go pro yet. CJ Stokes becomes on strong. You're going to have to replace a lot of your offensive line, obviously. So that would be a concern. You're going to lose your tight ends, but they've got a million tight ends. You're going to lose Mozzie Smith. Chris Jenkins, he could stay, he could go. Corners, you're probably going to lose. I mean, you're going to lose your two starters, but you got other talented guys. So you're right. It absolutely could stay up near the top. I just have more confidence in this year's team, but we'll see how this year's team does. And I would think that they'd take a step back with how much they lose. But this really could be a next man up situation. Darren at Darren_Graham90. A lot has been said about the QB battle, but which guy is easier for the offensive line to block for? We all know that the offense changes to a more read option style when JJ comes in. Does that help or hurt cohesion on the offensive line? I don't think it hurts anything or the changes are that big because I think that they, you know, JJ generally is going to pick and choose his poisons, right? He's going to figure out where he wants to go and do his thing with. Now there are designed ones and they just block it like a running play, right? I don't think that there's necessarily one or the other. I think the one probably little difficult part is that JJ might scramble a little bit more, so the offensive line has to block that much longer. You know, that would probably be the only thing. Big felt at felt big. I like that. With a crowded wide receiver room, what does the Michigan offense have to do more of to spread the wealth around? I think they're doing just fine doing that. 15 pass catchers last week. I think it would just be the thing of, you know, how do you get a couple guys to really stand out? How do you target guys like Andrell Moore? That would be it. But, I mean, obviously they were in garbage time pretty early. We'll see how it, you know, these types of things work themselves out generally. All right, Riss at All Right Riss. Does Michigan's defense get over under 5.5 sacks? Definitely over, in my opinion. But Hawaii has given up 5 sacks total and through 2 games. They've got some elder guys on the offensive line, but they haven't seen a defense yet like Michigan. So we will see. Go Blue at Offensive Binks. Will we start to see an increase in targets for Ronnie Bell? And are they easing him back in before conference play? I don't know if they're necessarily easing him back in, but I mean, he played obviously last week. You know, again, the passing game, he got targeted, he dropped the pass, he got a catch, but they've just got a lot of guys. At some point, you know, we'll see what happens, but it's a little too early to make that distinction. Jay DePoy at Jay DePoy. As a Michigan fan, how should I cheer against the other teams on their schedule, specifically OSU, MSU, and Penn State? Do we want them to be undefeated when we play? Does that make our victory more appealing in the eyes of the playoff committee? Listen, Michigan goes undefeated, doesn't matter. You know, they'll get that. Michigan's undefeated or one loss and beats all those, most of those, two-thirds of those, wins the Big Ten. The Big Ten's got enough credence that they'll still get that deal. I don't root, since I can't root for Michigan to win, I root for those teams to lose. Penn State less. I wanted them to lose against Purdue, but that was just more, let's end this James Franklin love early. But I always root against Ohio State and Michigan State personally, which makes it difficult for me to not root for Michigan when Michigan plays those two teams. I find myself visibly shaking during those games. Clark at Mark_Greenlease. You think JJ saying watch for Roman this game is an intended game plan the coaches may have put together for him playing his home state team or a sign of him getting more involved throughout the whole season? I think he's just coming on, right? He started to come on last year and then got injured. So that's kind of how that goes. I just think he's ready. It's third year. Usually that's when you see wide receivers really take that big step forward. Kane at Hurricane. Do you think JJ wins the job outright after this game Saturday? Personally, I do. It's going to take a lot when Cade comes in relief to earn his job back, but I do think that JJ will do enough to be like, all right, offense is definitely yours. Kind of similar to Joe Milton with Cade McNamara, ironically. Jamie Menifee at Jamie_Menifee. Will the Michigan coaches game plan for JJ strength run, or do they really open it up to see what he can do throwing? A little bit of both, right? Like that's one of the things that they've talked about is they aren't trying to just have him run their system. They're trying to play to his strengths. So I missed another one from Big Felt. He said, will we see more deep balls this game? I do think we will because that's in JJ's wheelhouse. I would be disappointed if we don't. Jacob Palmer at Jacob_Palmer13. What kind of a game would JJ need to have to win the job? What would Cade need to do to keep the job? For Cade to keep the job, JJ has to have a subdued game. And Cade would have to come in and I'd say throw for 70% and throw downfield, be the difference maker. JJ, I think, just has to play his game. I don't know what yardage because I don't know how long he's going to play, but I'd like to see 250 and just move the offense, throw for 60, 70%. Dan at Street SCR Scholar, Bowman versus Orgy as QB1, discuss. I'm not going to do that. Plus, because that's ridiculous. Got 20 seconds left. The quorum, Jimmy P at Jimbo Pete 6. JJ McCarthy versus Usain Bolt in 100 meter. Who wins? I mean, it's obviously Usain Bolt, But JJ running supposedly like a 4-4, 4-3, 4-5, something around there. Impressive. We did it. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks for watching and or listening. We'll be back with a preview on Friday. Peace.